Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, welcome to today's show. Today we're going to be discussing about how to realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His presence and knowing that He is all-wise and all-knowledgeable and almighty. Now we're looking at one of the ways of doing this through the outward recognition of Allah. There's an outward methodology. The outward methodology suggests that we look at the creations of this world and through that backtrack it to the Creator. Today specifically, we're going to be talking about the love for insects and flowers. One spring day, when the weather is little by little growing warmer, make a visit to a park or a farm. You will meet up with all sorts of small insects, honeybees, flies, butterflies, and mosquitoes, who, without making a sound, fly from one flower to the next and from this branch to branch of the trees. They are so busy with their work that one could imagine an employer is overlooking their progress and continuously telling them what to do. Look at the organized flights of these butterflies, for instance. Their wings and feet are colored yellow by the pollen of the flowers, giving them the look of workers who have put on their work clothes and with love and seriousness, they continue their work. You see that passion, you see that craze. Insects are, in reality, the real nourishers of fruit and providers of flower seeds. You most probably ask why. Because the most sensitive act in the life of a flower is performed with the help of the insects. You have probably heard that flowers, like many animals, have two parts, masculine and feminine, and that reproduction takes place through their union, giving us seeds and fruits. But have you ever thought how the two parts of flowers, which do not move from their place, they are attracted to each other? And how the male sperm mixes with the female ovary and provides the beginning of a marriage between the two flowers? This work is most often the work of insects, and in some cases, it is the work of the wind. Okay, so the pollens, they fly from one flower to another flower. Sometimes with the feet of these insects and these small little birds that sit on one flower and take these pollens and sit on the other flower, and that's where it happens, right? But this is not as simple as we think it is. This fruitful marriage in which insects act as the intermediators has a history, formality, and a long adventure, only a small part of which we mention here today in this show. Natural scientists, after a study, have concluded that flowers and plants appeared in the second geological age, and strangely enough, insects appeared at the same time. These two, throughout the eventful history of creation, were like two old and close friends who have remained loyal to each other and have been complements to one another. So at this point, we would like to take a short break, and once we return from this break, we're going to get into more of the relationship between these flowers and insects and how the reproduction takes place. Stay with us. Thank you.
He who has sent down water from the sky, with it have we produced divers pairs of plants, each separate from the others. Fruit of every kind he made in pairs, two and two. These verses of the Quran state that plants are created in pairs and indicates a great truth which was discovered only in the 20th century. It is as follows. The root of the word ezwach used in the verses is the word zoch, while the word of ezwach is the plural form of zoch, and zoch means spouse. We understand from these explanations that the Quran states through its verses that the plants are created in pairs, and there is masculinity and femininity in plants too. What do scientists say about this subject? Is there masculinity and femininity in plants, really? Now let us see the words of scientists. As a result of the studies made on plants, it is understood that there is masculinity and femininity in plants as well. And with the help of these different organs, reproduction occurs in plants. There are male and female reproduction cells in flowering and seedy plants. These cells are produced by the male and female organs, both of which are in the middle of the flower. In the tumid part of the female organ, called ovary, there are small and round seed ovules, and within them there are female reproduction cells too. The male reproduction cells are hidden inside the pollens produced by the anther of the male organ. While pollens, which are very light, are carried from one flower to another through winds or various animals, some of them cling on the vertex of the female organ. Afterwards, this pollen grain moves downwards from the stylus and reaches the ovules of the ovaries through a tube. The male reproduction cell passes from this tube and unites with the female reproduction cell in the ovule. When male and female reproduction cells unite, ovules are formed and then seeds are formed from them. Now, let us think of the following point. Biology was not a developed branch of science during the era of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The reproduction of plants and the role of the female and male elements in this field were not known. With the development of the science of biology and botany, the existence of male and female cells in seeding and flowering plants was understood. Botanists were able to discover the difference of gender in plants only 100 years ago. Then, how did a person who did not know how to read or write manage to know that there was masculinity and femininity in plants at a time when people were not aware of botany or biology? This question can have only one answer. It is as follows. That person did not know in its own. He knew it because Allah, who creates pairs from plants, informed him of it. If this answer is not accepted, we will never be able to explain that person's informing of scientific facts and his news turning out to be true. There is only one answer that human minds can accept. The Quran is the book of Allah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Before we went on to this short break, we were talking about the insects being that mediator and being the real nourisher of fruit and providers of the flower seeds. And we explained to you through the pollens, they are that mediator of that marriage and that relationship between the male flowers and the female flowers. Okay, now we're going to continue this discussion and bring to you some more interesting points before we wrap up this topic. Flowers have always stored a sweet nectar within themselves in order to further attract and sweeten the relationship between the opposite gender of the flower. At the time when insects enter the flower in order to transfer the masculine group, provide the preliminaries for the marriage and pregnancy, the flower freely gives off its sweetness to them. This sweet and valuable sugar is so good tasting to the insect that they are naturally pulled towards it. You would be thinking, like, why would an insect do that? It is because of this sweet, sugary taste. Some botanists, they believe that the beautiful colors and good-smelling perfume of flowers also play an important role in attracting the insects towards them. Various experiments with honeybees have shown that they distinguish colors and the aroma of flowers. In reality, it is these flowers which grow for insects and have a good-smelling aroma in such a way that a butterfly and honeybees are attracted towards them. They accept the invitation with all of their being and quickly begin the preliminaries and eat off their sweetness. This very sweetness is a special kind of sugar, which is considered to be the best food for insects. When it is stored in one place, it makes honey because insects are attracted to flowers. It eats some of its sweetness and takes most of it with them to their honeycomb to store. This is a contract of friendship and love, which is based on mutual interest. Always existed, this thing always existed and will continue to exist between flowers and insects. A lesson about monotheism that we extract from what we have narrated for you and explained for you is that when a human being studies these wonderful and wondrous points in the lives of the insects and flowers, he or she automatically asks this question: who established this pact of love and friendship between insects and flowers? There's got to be someone. It just cannot be a coincidence. Who gave this special sweetness and good-tasting nectar to the flowers? Who granted flowers these attractive colors, beauty, and this sweet-smelling perfume? Who invited insects towards it? What were the fat and tiny bodies of insect, butterflies, honeybees, and golden bees given to make them prepared to connect to the pollen of flowers? Right? And the answer is, here we go. And the nourisher taught the bee to build its cells in hills. And this is a verse of Quran, chapter 16, verse 68 and 69. And the nourisher taught the bee to build its cells in hills, on trees and in habitations, then to cut off all tile produce of the earth and find with skill the spacious paths of its nourisher. So we know that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this, we leave you in Allah's care and thank you for listening to today's show. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.
Thank you.